Dermot Jewell is here with me. Good evening, Dermot.
Evening, Scott.
Consumer problem, shoddy service, suppression of your rights under the sale of goods and supply services, like just general all-round bad behaviour and bad treatment, ignorance, rudeness, and money loss. Any of those things. Be it a mobile phone, beds, sofas are always very popular. We always get a lot of inquiries on sofas. If you're one of those sofa engineers that goes out to inspect these problems of people, I still have yet to speak to one of you. You can use that number, 850-6597, or text me at 57102 for just 20 cents, and we'll call you straight back. Okay?
Absolutely.
So there we go.
Wonderful.
So if you have a problem, now's the time. Dermot Jewell is the Chief Executive of the Consumers Association of Ireland. He comes in here on a Monday, freely and of his own volition, under no duress whatsoever and without an arm guard, to help you with expert advice. If you have a consumer problem, the least you could do is ring the man and give him a few problems to solve for you. 850-6597. Hello, Eileen.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Eileen. Now, I hear you had a problem with your hair, was it?
I did indeed. Yeah. I actually have it written down, so I'll go through it very quickly.
Yes,
if you don't
go through
mind.
It for me. Yeah. Yeah.
I bought a hairdryer from a company on the 12th of April, and on the second occasion I used it, my hair was almost dry. I noticed it was getting very hot, and before I knew it, a chunk of my hair was burned off the top of my head. Then it just stopped altogether. I contacted the customer service by phone and explained what happened. They wrote me on the 18th of April. They asked me to return the product along with this receipt and photographs in order for the supplier to carry out an investigation. I did so, and on the 24th of April, by unregistered post.
Right.
Yeah, on the 27th of April, I received a letter from them, and in capital letters, they had without prejudice. They apologised for delay.
Without prejudice, let's take a note of that. Okay, what date was that again, Annie?
That was on the 27th of April.
Okay.
They apologised for delay and informed me that it was still under an investigation. I've had any inquiries, do not hesitate to call.
Now, what are they investigating? The fact that your hair was on fire or the fact
they
that it was a fault?
They're investigating the product, the hairdryer, to see what caused it.
Right. And
so, on the 24th of June, I eventually got fed up and I gave them a call and I said, look, what's happening? And they said to me, well, we have spoken to the supplier and they can't find, you know, what caused it, but we're willing to offer you €80, you know, as a goodwill gesture.
Without prejudice.
Yes, without prejudice. And I said, okay, this is like, you know, adding insult to injury.
How much did you pay for this dryer, I mean?
It was only €15.
€15, right.
Yeah. But anyway, I was offered €80. I said, okay, this is kind of like adding insult to injury, if you like. I mean, they was damaged my hair, which was very badly damaged. And, you know, this is what I was being offered. So I just said, no, I'm not prepared to accept that. And they said to me, well, what would you be prepared to accept? And at the time, I would have accepted about €200, but it still went on. She said, oh, well, I have to speak to the supplier, and they have to get in touch with her.
And what have we heard since the 25th of June?
From then on, I heard nothing. And I wrote a letter to them myself.
Right.
And I said, look, if this can't be sorted, you know, in due course, I have no option but to take it further. So immediately, you know, it was about a couple of days later, I got a phone call from them. And they said, have you not heard from the suppliers? And I said, no, I've heard from no one. So a couple of hours later, I got a call from the suppliers who were abroad. And they said to me, again, all we can offer you is €80.
And when you say suppliers, these are the people who manufactured the dryer. Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, these people are abroad.
Mm.
And they said to me, well, look, you know, that's all we can offer. We can't find what caused the problem.
That's all marvellous. Now, what does the shop that sold you this dryer say at all, Eileen?
Well, they're kind of handing over to the suppliers,
Very decent.
I'd say they are all right.
Yeah, they are.
Anyway.
I'm clocked now because I was thinking of taking this. Actually, I rang up a solicitor and asked her advice.
Yeah.
Right.
And she said that I should be at least compensated by about €500.
Well, you see now, Eileen, if you've been in touch with a solicitor, we can't help you.
You're right, but that was only on the phone, and I was only asking advice.
I know, but you've been legal advice, Eileen. You see, we are not legal briefs here.
Okay, right,
so
fair enough.
So I wouldn't know whether you're due 5p or 500 or 80 or anything in between, and Well, Dermot, what would be your view on that? I mean, it's tricky for us, isn't it?
It is tricky for us, but what we can... You obviously know that where all of this is going is the merchantable quality of the hairdryer in the first place.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that... Have you been to a doctor or to a specialist at all?
No, my scalp wasn't burnt or anything like that. It was just my hair.
Right, fair enough. You see...
Have you photographed of it?
I do, yes.
You do? Very good, very good. Yeah. And where is the hairdryer at this stage?
I handed it over to them. I sent it by registered post to the company. But I have the receipt and I have the receipt for the registered post also.
Very good, very good. No, I'm just interested in the country. You don't have to tell me the name of the place, the name of the factory or the anything like that. Just what country?
What country was it?
Germany.
Very good, Germany. Okay. I suppose by way of helping you information-wise, what we can tell you is that of course it falls under the Sale of Goods and Supply of Services Act, in that if you were dealing with the retailer, the person who sold it to you, then it fails with them and it would be up to them to, for example, refund you your money.
Yes, they did offer to do that.
Very good. But the second part of it is with the manufacturer, as you say, the supplier, and they're in Germany. And whilst... Literally, and I honestly mean this, this is very much a civil matter now between yourself and that company.
I mean, that's a compensation issue, isn't it?
Very much. And in all honesty, as you kind of pointed out, only you could determine what that will ever be. Because that's for you to decide and you to demand, if you like, through a solicitor, as you say. But could I suggest that what might help you is that if you get, because the company is, well, of course, it's your choice. You can, of course, hire a solicitor and go to that. But let me explain to you. It is likely to be a little bit difficult. What you need to try and find out is there a distributor here? Not the seller, not the manufacturer, but their distributor. In other words, is there an agent for them here in Dublin? Or here in Ireland, should I say?
Yeah, there is.
There is. Well, try engaging with the distributor and see what they have to say. Or have you done that?
I have, and they are passing it over to the supplier.
Yeah. It sounds like your thought process. The solicitor is the way to go.
It's the only way to go, and as Scott says, that is very much a matter for you A to decide, and B in quantity and value. Yeah. It's to yourself.
Can I just ask you there, Dermot?
Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking of taking this to small claims court. Now, do I deal with the company that is here, the distributor that is here? But I have no address and no contact for the supplier in Germany.
No, well, to explain, it doesn't come under the jurisdiction of the Small Claims Court because that's in relation to the quality of the product. You're going further than this. You see, it's a matter of compensation for damage or hurt, personal hurt. So it's very different. Yeah. It's not small claims. It's a private issue now.
That's why we're making the distinction for you, Eileen. Just, I mean, in terms, Dermot set out your consumer rights under the Act as such, but I think you were fairly well aware of that anyway.
Yeah.
From listening to you there. So after the solicitor, it sounds like, because we can't, we don't deal in damages and civil matters. That would be legal stuff. We don't.
Okay.
I'll make you one last suggestion, which just might be of use to you.
Yeah, sure.
And if you look up, it's a bit off. You need a pen. It is an organisation called VZBV.
V.
That's V for Vincent, Z for zebra, B for Benny, and BZBV again for
V
Vincent.
For Victor.
So that's VVBV.
Yes, and they are the German Consumer Association, and I'd say they may be able to help you with the company, if nothing else, because they're based in Germany.
VVBV.
V for Victor, Z for Zebra.
Z for Zebra,
B for Billy, and Billy. V for Vincent.
That's it.
VZBV.
And how would I contact them?
Oh, search them online in Google.
Absolutely.
All right, Eileen.
Thank you, Dermot.
Very welcome.
You're very welcome, Eileen. Bye-bye. That's an interesting case. It was a shame we couldn't do more for Eileen, but hey, you know, we don't do damages. The number is 850-6597 or text me 57102 for 20 cents. So, John, you traded in a car, yeah?
That's right, yeah. Am I on, Scott? Yeah,
sure. So you traded, this was your Rover.
That's right. I traded in against Mercedes, a C180.
A C180?
0001, yeah.
Right, when did you do all this?
At the end of May.
End of May, that's only a little while ago. What happened?
Well, he gave me a 3-month warranty on it, obviously, and I handed over my cash. And off I drove, and off we drove away on the car. We took, obviously, drove for a test drive. It seemed like a good car and all the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Went off on it. My partner dropped me to the airport that night because I was going to the, going away to the UK for the weekend. Came home on Sunday, and she said to me, the car wouldn't start for on Sunday.
Okay.
So I rang the garage, and he says, as a gesture of goodwill, he'll send out a mechanic to jump it for me. I said, that's grand. So we came, jumped.
Generous,
it.
Yeah.
Very generous. Of, anyway. Off we went for a little spin that day. Next day, the same thing. Cut a long story short, wouldn't start again, so I rang him up again, and he says, well, buy a battery, he says, and put it in. Quite abruptly.
Yeah.
I says, well, will you pay for the battery? He says, no way. Well, am I going to fork out for a battery?
Just be well, very, very clear about this, John. So yeah. you took delivery of the car, you went for the weekend to the UK. So literally the next day...
The next day, my partner, yeah.
She couldn't start the car.
Wouldn't start, no.
Because not the battery was knackered, that's why.
Well, completely.
Yeah. So this man says, go and buy a battery, John.
He said, go and buy a battery, otherwise. And I said, well, you pay the bill.
And he said, I will not.
No way.
Did he even go halves?
Not a penny. So anyway, to try and alleviate problems, I went and bought a battery at the cost of €130.
Yeah. They're not cheap batteries anymore. No.
They're not, certainly for a car like that. Well, we didn't want to come out every morning and having problems.
Of course. Yeah, you're right.
They're all electrics, these cars. So, anyway, to cut a long story short, this battery now, brand new battery, it's not starting again. We were out to having to jump it nearly every second day. Now it's not holding the charge, obviously.
The new battery's not holding the charge?
It's not. So it's something to do with the car, you know.
So alternator then or something, is it? Yeah.
Anyway, we decided we'd get a diagnostic check done on it on a local Mercedes garage with a cost of €90. And it came back about 5 pages of stored faults on the car. One that needed looking at straight away, an air intake thing, just to cut a long story short. Anyway, I tried ringing this guy, but no joy. So I went over this morning. I had a look at your website, first of all, Aaron, to get some
very good
advice.
Did any of those error codes relate to batteries or charging issues?
Some of them related to low voltage. Yeah.
Low voltage, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Low voltage.
And you brought all this over to our friend, yeah?
I brought it all over to the friend, and basically he told me to get out.
Did he really?
He swore at me and said, if you don't leave, I'll put you out.
Wow.
And I said to him that if he put a hand on me, I'd get the guards straight away.
I hope he didn't put a hand on you.
I said, I'm a customer. I bought a car from your garage and I'm not going. Well, he says, I'm going to throw you out.
Nothing
to do with that car. But just to say to you, I did...
Sorry, John, to keep interrupting you. Just be very clear. Were you given 3 months written warranty?
Yes, on the invoice, he wrote down 3 months parts and labour on the engine.
On the 25th of...
May.
About 28th of May.
All right. Yeah. Well, we're still well within that.
Well within that. And he did say to me this morning, you got a month's warranty on that and you're well out of that. I said, excuse me, it's in writing.
Yeah.
3 months.
Okay, well, you finished the story. So what was the end of it, John?
So he basically nearly threw me out this morning. He said, I'm not... Well, I quoted the Act, you know, the 1980 Sale of Goods.
Yeah.
I said, refund or replace. And he said, well, I'm not doing any more work in that car. So I said, you're not repairing it. Well, I said, I want a replacement or a refund under the law. I'm entitled to that. And he laughed at me.
Laughed at you.
He laughed at me.
Mm.
What can I do in this situation? I was just wondering, is there anything I can do,
What state is the car in now, John?
The car is not started. It'll run, if I have a good run in the day, it'll start the next day. But if I don't, if I leave it overnight, like in the rainy weather, it doesn't start.
And
it just goes down.
This battery is just a few weeks old now.
The battery, it's practically your battery.
Well, no, I mean, I'm no mechanic, Dermot. That sounds like trouble with the charging circuit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
And John has a 3-month written warranty.
But the fact that it's under a 3-month written warranty, the attitude of this guy absolutely amazes me to you, John. I must be honest.
I know. You wouldn't believe it. Customer service.
And tell me this.
Customer should serve him.
Absolutely.
When you signed, you obviously got all of the documentation that comes with it. Is it on a semi-approved... Is this a semi-approved garage?
Unfortunately, it's not. No.
Right. So this guy is standing out.
I looked into that.
Okay, fair enough. Well, then you'll need to act quite quickly. And what I suggest you do is you could do a couple of things. But first of all, you do have the warranty. How did you pay?
Cash, I'm afraid.
Okay, well, that's all right. That's okay. Well, what you do need to do is tomorrow morning, you kind of need to give him a letter and also have a cop, well, obviously a CC and a copy delivered to the National Consumer Agency.
Right.
And the reason we're talking about the National Consumer Agency is because this is seriously, you know, ignoring and avoiding and breaching, as you say yourself, consumer law, which is the Sale of Goods and Supply of Services Act. You're given a 3-month warranty that this gentleman is seems to be suggesting is entirely worthless and not even in existing. You're out of pocket and he won't take the car back. So he's seriously breaching the contract terms that with you, as well as the Sale of Goods and Supply of Services Act.
Okay.
So you need to kind of put that, well, you can call him, or probably not a good idea to go into him considering he's so volatile.
Registered post.
But by registered post, yes, or have it hand delivered in some shape or form. But registered post is better because he, you know, he'll get it,
there'll
he's
no
signed for it. So that's the thing to do. And a copy to the National Consumer Agency. And can I
well,
ask you...
You have to make sure it's open, Dermot. So, you see now, John, I mean, this is obviously a real chancer, yeah?
Yeah, obviously.
So, on that envelope put, important check inside.
Right.
On the front
of it.
So to make sure he opens it.
Yeah.
He may be listening now for all we know, but it doesn't matter.
Well, hopefully he is. Unfortunately, I can't name the guard, I don't think. Well,
Not yet. But there'll be people ringing in and going, why not? We don't want to go there, but not yet.
No, not yet.
Well, he knows who he is, and who he is anyway.
Fantastic. But if he is listening, good, because you're really, really handling this wrong, sir, is all I can say to you, very, very wrongly. The value, I am assuming, because we're talking even with an 01C180 and a trade-in, is it in excess of the small claims limit?
It seems to be, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
That's why...
about $2,000, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it must be.
Yeah.
But look, as I say, what you need to do, in writing, breaching the Sale of Goods and Supply of Services Act, and in addition now, breaching the terms of the contract, the basic contract for sale, which is ignoring the warranty, and that therefore...
And breaching the terms of good customer relations.
Aye, indeed.
And being rude.
Zero customer relations, you mean?
Zero customer
relations.
For
all of the above.
That'll work
us. So what are we putting in this letter anyway, Dermot?
Well, the last thing I would do... Well, I would put in the letter that you've spoken to Scott and myself, and the advice is that, you know, under the terms of the Sale of Goods and Supply of Services Act 1980, you've said yourself, you can get it from the website, the car is clearly not of marketable quality and therefore is not fit for its purpose.
Absolutely.
Hmm.
In addition to that, you were given a 3-month warranty, parts and labour, non-specific beyond that, and you've been refused to have the repairs carried out under the terms of the warranty, so therefore the contract is breached, broken.
So would it be good for John to photocopy the guarantee and the receipt with on
very much
it
so
to him, yeah.
Very much so.
Copy
not
attached, John.
Make
it as,
the NCA will like that too.
Yeah, make
it
as comprehensive as you can, the letter
of
to
course,
the man,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And that lastly, I would suggest, if for no other reason, that you say that you would be somewhat concerned at the inability to resolve this matter within the next 2 to 3 working days, and that in the event of that, because it's rather important, and I'll be honest with you, again, you can do this now or you can do it later, but you can make the point to him that it would be, you think it would be important that the sale would be notified to the revenue commissioners.
Right.
Yes.
That's a good one, yeah.
It might just get a bit more attention. I'm not saying the attitude will change, John, but it might get a little bit more urgency attached to it.
Registered post, John.
Registered post, no problem.
And you give this guy 3 working days from the receipt of it.
Yeah, it's enough. It's plenty of time.
Yeah, which all we want to do is fix the car. Let me know how you get on, John. Let us know how you get on with that one.
Thanks very much. You're very welcome.
Good luck.
Okay, bye-bye. Dermot Jewell is here. It's a Monday. Consumer problems all the way, and by golly, we hear them. So if you're in the motor trade and that sounds like you, listen here, pal. Best thing to do is to sort the man out.
The Scott Williams Show on Dublin's
Q102. And Dermot Jewell, the Chief Executive of the Consumers Association of Ireland, is here with me. Your problems are what this is all about. If you have a consumer issue, now's the time to call. 850-6597 or text me 57102 for just 20 cents. We call you straight back. Hello, Carol.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm grand. Carol had a problem with the duvet.
Yes.
Mm. Mm. They've lost it.
They have.
The cleaners, is it?
How long did you leave it in? How long ago?
I left it in on Friday the 8th of June.
Friday the 8th of June. And you didn't go back for weeks and weeks, I'd say, did you?
Oh, I've been back at least 6 to 8 times. I have tried ringing.
And were you told?
I have texted.
Were you told, Carla, to be ready the following Friday or something? Was that the day?
I went up the following Thursday, the 14th.
Yeah.
And it wasn't there. I went back up on the 15th and still wasn't there.
Right.
And then I was told it's either in the van or the other shop. So what I did was I went up to the other cleaners, the shop, and she said, no, it's not here.
Right, so can't be found.
Cannot be found. And it's just got to the stage that when I was ringing the person that I was trying to get sorted from, he would cut off the phone.
Oh, right.
Mm.
So what I did was I took off my call.
Identifier.
And I got to him again this morning, and he said, oh, I'm with someone, I can't talk to you, and cut me off. So I tried again later, and he cut me off.
Special Agent Carol.
This is what has been happening now since the 14th.
Okay, well, we get the picture. Let's ask Dermot, what is the contract that exists between Carol, who walks into a shop to have her duvet cleaned, with somebody who purports to have the service of duvet cleaning?
Yes.
And then is not in a position to return said article either dirty or clean. Compensation, well, I would have thought.
Yeah, replacement.
Replacement.
To explain, Carol, we're back to the sale of goods and the supply of services part of the act.
I'm a dry cleaner. Yes.
As Scott is saying there, they put themselves forward as being in a professional capacity to take and mind your duvet and clean it and return it to you, and they charge you a fee for doing that. Now, the problem is that if they lose it, then they have no choice but replace it with the equivalent class of a duvet.
To your satisfaction.
To your satisfaction.
Yeah,
do you have a receipt? Well, maybe you don't, and I would understand why not, but would you have a
receipt? Give us a break,
Dermot.
Who keeps receipts?
Receipt for the duvet.
Yeah.
No, but what happened was my son and I tried to tie it down to a year, and we got 2 years credit cards receipts, which have now cost €96.
Oh, dear
so
Lord.
Now I'm another €96 out of pocket.
All right, hang on here now. Well, we have to sort this
you
out.
You know, yeah. Go back to the store you purchased it from and ask them for a quotation for a duvet?
They're not even, I rang them today and they're not selling that specific
they're
duvet anymore.
How much did it cost you?
It cost €120.
Right. Now, I would strongly suggest the man in the dry cleaners gives you...
The €120.
But what about fair wear and tear, Dermot? What about 100?
Well, you see, this is it. There needs to be fair wear and tear.
Would you take 100, Carol, would you?
All I want is to replace it with a duvet of the same quality.
Yeah, but would you take 100? If I said to you, take 100 because...
I would take 100 and get shut of this hassle.
And you put 20 to it yourself to get a new one.
I put it all behind me.
Yes.
Very good.
Stage, you know?
Well, I'm just asking that. That sounds like you're a reasonable woman.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that would be very fair. So what you need to do is just get... Go to a store and get a quotation for it, the equivalent of the one you gave in. And hopefully, Carol, it'll be about €150, €120, whatever. Just get a quote from something on a piece of paper saying, this is to replace that. Bring it into the individual and say to him, look, I've spoken to Scott and to Dermot, and you must know by now this...
You lost me, Duvet.
You've lost me, Duvet. You have to replace it. But I'm trying to be reasonable here. I acknowledge that it wasn't brand spanking new. It's why it was left in for cleaning. Yeah. But to replace it costs €120. If you give me €100, life will be wonderful. Because if not, then you and I are going to meet in the small claims court, and it's not going to be good for you. Yeah. It'll be fine for me.
There you go. That's it.
No. I have dropped up. I got your template for your letter for the sale and supply of goods and supplies of service. Yeah. And I dropped it up last Friday, and he hasn't even gotten in touch with me about it.
Yeah. Well, one last try, Carol.
That's all you can do is one last try. And I appreciate that this man is hanging up on you, which is very, very bad. So I would either drop in a note and walk away, but just say you have 24 hours to call me between the hours of whatever,
and
tell me yes or tell me no. And if I don't hear from you, I'll just go straight to the small claims court.
I find myself, Carol, with complaints sometimes. It's excellent if you just drop by the store and you want to discuss them with a shop full of people.
Yeah, but he's not there, you see. This is the thing. Yeah,
that's okay.
But when he hangs up on you, he's there.
Yeah, but he's answering on his mobile. He's not in the actual premises.
Oh, right, yeah.
When is he ever in that shop?
I don't know. I would literally have to go up and spend the day in the shop, in where the shop is, and catch him that way. That's the only way, because I've asked for his home address, I've asked for another work address, I even went up to the other premises, as I say, and he wasn't there.
Well, Carol, can I suggest to you then that you just go ahead and register your complaint with the Small Claims Court?
Yeah.
And but in passing, just say what you've just said to ourselves, that call into the shop, speak to the young man or young lady who's there, and
tell
say,
the shop
just so that you know, I just want you to pass on the message that I've, not to worry, I've transferred all of this problem to the Small Claims Court.
Yeah.
When I dropped up the letter last week, I did say to the lady, if he doesn't come back within the week, I'm going to submit it.
So you're well sorted.
And that's the way to do
carry
it.
Carry on with your threat.
Unfortunately, you have to go to those lengths. I'm
all
sorry.
All right, Carol.
Okay, thanks, Shamil.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Hello, Mandy.
Hi, how are you?
Hi,
Mandy.
Mandy bought an iPad for her husband.
Yes, about 18 months ago for a Christmas present.
God, I wish I was bought an iPad. You
lucky
iPad
man.
Christmas,
yes,
then, yeah.
Good for you, Mandy. Wow.
Very, very lucky man.
Yeah, well, myself and Dermot are available if you ever have a vacancy there, Mandy. If you get iPads for Christmas, it'd be great.
Oh, anyway, very good. No problem.
What's it not doing?
What's happened?
After, I'd say, about 10, 15 minutes when you're on it, or, you know, you're going into the internet or on Facebook, the screen starts jumping, and then it's like as if there's someone, say, on the other side that's trying to get in on the computer. If that makes sense.
That's eerie.
The screen keeps jumping on it. Now, I haven't tried to bring it back or anything because I don't know where I stand.
Is it only on the internet, or do all the other apps work okay?
No, the whole screen just jumps. Right. And when you try to cancel it or, you know, go to switch the iPad off, it just freezes completely. Right. It won't let you do anything.
Faulty.
Okay. Well, what I do suggest you do is
that goes back to Apple.
Have you another computer or access to another computer? You do?
I do, to a laptop.
Great
stuff.
Well, take your laptop and go onto the Apple site and type in, if you like, iPad screen jumping, you know, in there, and you, it'll be interesting to see what comes up out of that. But you do need to contact Apple and tell them that this is the problem. Because it is they who will be able to need to remedy it.
Our experience is usually Apple are very good about getting these things sorted out, Mandy.